Back with you for a midweek Wednesday edition, Wednesday, September 15th, 2021, right here on Connecticut Today. Checked in once again with one of our business gurus, Carl Gould, about what he thinks regarding White House mandates for larger companies to get more of their employees vaccinated against COVID-19. And we checked in once again with Ken Girardin. He is policy director for the Yankee Institute for Public Policy, the conservative think tank in the state. We asked Ken whether or not he thinks the TCI initiative is actually dead. Next guest, we're welcoming him back. He's a worldwide leading authority on businesses. His company, Seven Stage Advisors, helps organizations grow to the next level. He's an entrepreneur who built three multi-million dollar businesses by the age of 40. His company, Seven Stage Advisors, has mentored the launch of over 5,000 businesses. He's helped companies like Allstate, American Idol, the USA Olympic Track, IBM, McGraw-Hill, and the Army. Carl Gould is back with us to talk about these vaccine mandates, whether they're real or not. Carl, hi, it's Paul at WICC again. How are you?
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Great to be back.
I'm good. Thank you, Carl. Great to have you back on here in Connecticut all over. And the last time we talked, Carl, this was kind of like pre-mandate announcement from the White House. Now, since then, a couple of weeks back, the president said what he said about federal workers. But more importantly, Carl, it sounds like he wants to turn the screws a little on private businesses. You've had time to soak this all in. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I know the sentiment is, you know, businesses over 100 employees now need to vaccinate. I think it's a challenge. The one thing I do like, and I've been preaching, is that the government needs to be the regulatory body. They need to set the policy, and then the businesses need to either comply or not with that. Those lines need to be clearly drawn. So, So when the full, mandate is out, then at least that's been done. Now, do I like the mandate? I don't like the idea of mandating vaccines because, from a business standpoint, you will have people who have legitimate, whether it be physical or health or religious or other reasons for exempting themselves, that will be legitimate in your business. And if you don't have those exemptions available, you're creating, a little bit of dissension in your culture. So I don't like that at all, because as a business owner, you need everybody aligned around how to just service the client. And if you can't, if you start separating and segregating your workforce based on who got the vaccine and what, they didn't get it, well, then they can't work with us. And why can't they work with us? You're creating, I really think this is creating a problem for businesses, and it's already showing in the industries where they have put this in place.
Carl, hang on. Those are fascinating thoughts. We'll be right back with you. Quick break for traffic and weather together. Noted business consultant Carl Gould, his company Seven Stage Advisors, will continue with more on COVID mandates and Carl Gould straight ahead. First, traffic and weather together right here on WICC. The name of the company is Seven Stage Advisors. The boss is Carl Gould, a worldwide leading authority on business. This company has helped thousands of businesses, and I would imagine many of those businesses may be wondering what to make of what the president said a few weeks ago regarding private employers. Now, the dealing with government unions is a completely different thing, but we're talking about companies here. He said companies, he's urging companies of 100 or more employees to have vaccine mandates. And Carl, he said this, and I spoke with a legal expert on this yesterday. He went as far to say, listen, I'm going to tell OSHA to turn the screws on these companies. So it's going to be real interesting, Carl Gould, how this plays out.
Right. So pretend for a moment you're a business owner.
Yeah.
You have one of your key employees, someone who's really important to the company, and they come to you and they say, for any one of these following reasons, which are totally legitimate, I will not be getting the vaccine, whatever it is. And now you, as a business owner, have to let a key employee go. And now you no longer have that key employee, that asset, to run your business. One, you've gotten rid of a key employee. Two, you now have to go hire in one of the toughest employment markets ever. So all of a sudden, it got harder and more expensive to run your business. As a business, what do you tell that business owner?
Yeah.
Because that's the practical application of this. And I understand, you know, I'm not making the health or the transmission argument. That's a whole other conversation. But purely from a business standpoint, you are handcuffing business owners when it is about as hard as you can imagine to, you know, just service your client. I think it's a bad move. I don't like it. And I think it's going to lead to more problems than I think that they're solving.
Carl,
how
much of this do you think might be, and I kind of mused this the other day, posited this, do you think this is in any way a scare tactic? I mean, I know he said what he said, and I know his doctors are supporting him, but you wonder whether Mr. Biden and people around him and his advisors may say this, Carl, to be kind of a shot across the bow here to get more people to get the shot.
I do think that's exactly what's going on because if you recall, this is what New York, in the very beginning of COVID, yeah. New York City floated the idea of shutting down the city. I don't know if you remember that. And what happened was about 250,000 people flocked to New Jersey. And what started out as a New York centric hotspot,
yeah,
then included New Jersey because so many people were saying, well, you're going to shut down the city. I'm out of here. I'm not hanging around. And so what they did was they floated the idea to see if it would turn, if, you know, what the response would be. So I do very much think that that's what President Biden is doing. He is floating the idea to see what the public backlash, if anything at all, will happen. And then from there, he will adjust accordingly.
And, you know, I did see, Carl, that one of his advisors or a high-ranking person with contact to the president, one of these advisors said they thought a 100-employee ceiling on businesses was too high. I'm reading where doctors say it should be 25. I mean, again, there that would be a big problem too, wouldn't it?
I love it when people who are not, don't run businesses, tell
yeah.
businesses how to run businesses.
Yeah.
Well, so a couple of statistics. 98.6% of the businesses in America have 20 employees or less.
Yeah.
So if you were to bring this down to businesses below 20%, you would be impacting 50% of the employment population in our country. That would be a disaster. That would not be a problem. That would be a disaster. That's what you would be doing. Go
wow.
ask a restaurant owner what it's like trying to get people to work in their restaurant. They can't find them. Now you're going to put another restriction on top of this? Unconscionable.
And Carl, finally, I did want to touch on that, Carl Gould. It's funny you mention that because for the first time ever, Carl, here I am in Southern and Central Connecticut. I went to two of my favorite fast food joints, right? We all have the places we go all the time, habitually on the way home. Carl, twice in a week, I saw the sign, dining room closed, take out, drive up only due to lack of employees. I saw that, Carl, and I said, wow, this is really happening. And these are restaurants, Carl, on busy thoroughfares, and they couldn't open their dining rooms.
It's everywhere. It's not just the names of businesses that you see on TV. It's everywhere on Main Street. You can't. I went to a hotel with my family over the summer.
Yeah.
And the pool was closed and the restaurant was closed during the week because they had no staff. You couldn't rent some of the water toys because they didn't have staff. And all the stuff was sitting right there. And they said, we're so sorry. We just can't get anyone to man it.
Wow.
That's what's happening.
Not good.
And you want to make it harder now? It's, you know, again, when non-business owners are trying to tell business owners how to run, the very idea of this mandate shows that they don't understand that business community the way they should in order to make these decisions.
Carl, thank you. Carl Gould, he heads 7-Stage Advisors. Check him out online. Carl, be good. We'll talk down the road, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
I appreciate it. Carl Gould there, G-O-U-L-D, the website 7-Stage Advisors. He's worked with thousands of companies, among them Allstate, American Idol, USA Olympic Track and Field, IBM, McGraw-Hill, and the U.S. Army. You may have heard of them. Have you seen that, folks, in your neighborhood, right? You go to your favorite fast food places, right, in your neighborhood. And I drove by two of them the other day. I went one on one day and one like 2 days later. I was out late after the show here. Figured, let me grab some chicken pieces or a burger or something on the way home. And I see the sign and I pull up and it says, dining room closed due to lack of staff. Drive up and takeout available. Twice. And these are places that usually the parking lots are filled. The drive-up line is curled around the back. Man, oh, man. Have we beaten back the Transportation Climate Initiative, which is essentially a gasoline tax hike? Have we done it again? Have we just won this battle? Is the war never ending? He's a policy director at the Yankee Institute for Public Policy. Ken Girardin joins us to talk about this. Ken, hi, it's Paul. Good to have you on again. How are you today?
It's good to be back with you, Paul. And yes, we have scared the dragon back into the cave for a few more months of respite.
Yeah.
Connecticut drivers at this point we're getting into year number three of yet another scheme to dip deeper into their wallets. First, there were tolls, then there was TCI, then there was TCI again, and there's going to continue to be TCI. It is persistent tax syndrome that we are dealing with. We're just going to be continually in this fight, because until Hartford changes its ways and starts doing a better job spending the money that they already collect, there is always going to be this effort to get more.
Because I was actually on the page last night, Ken, of the Connecticut Mirror, and I see one of their top stories. You know, they allude to Martin Looney in the article saying, well, you know, he said something like, we're still working on it, or it's still not together, which you and I both know means they don't have the votes for it. I mean, when you have the votes, you vote. That's what I've always been told about the General Assembly. But Ken, the thing that just frosts me off here, that just makes my head explode when I'm on the air here, is to read about this stuff. And they continue to try and nickel and dime us. And we supposedly can have these millions set to come in when we start selling retail-level marijuana. We have online gambling and sports wagering coming up within a month or so. Can I have an idea? If we're so concerned about what they say TCI is for, then why doesn't the General Assembly can just designate a 0.5% or 1% to say, okay, from all of our sports gambling money, this will build charger stations, or this will help the environment? Why don't they do that? You tell me. Why don't they do that?
Well, first off, I want to give Senator Looney a lot of credit, because he's being especially forthright about who's going to be paying the price from
yes,
TCI.
Yes, he is, yes.
TCI is just, background for your listeners, TCI has a plan to artificially increase the cost of gasoline and diesel fuel in Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island. And the advocates in Hartford are really excited about having, you know, roughly $100 million a year to play with afterwards, because this is a credit system and people would have to pay into a credit system in order to sell gasoline in Connecticut. And then the money would get split up, and, you know, the first half of it would go, you know, to activists. And then what's left would maybe potentially go towards our actual transportation needs. So Senator Looney has correctly identified this as a problem for working class people, because, you know, listen, the people who are, you know, who are driving the super fancy cars, a 17 cent per gallon hit is not going to be that big a deal. It's not going to deter them from driving. What TCI wants to do is deter poor and working people from being able to drive their cars. It wants them to say, you know, it's worth me spending extra time on the bus, or it's worth me leaving my car at home or getting rid of car altogether. It's all about hitting those folks with higher costs. Now, to your point, if the General Assembly were really concerned about the environmental impacts of people driving, they are welcome to go and hike the gas tax. The problem there for them, from their perspective, is two things. Number one, then you're on the record having hiked taxes. And, you know, that's, it's really hard to excuse a gas tax hike when Connecticut already has New England's highest. And number two, in that case, all the money would have to go into the transportation lockbox. And like I was saying before, TCI is being pushed by activists who have dollar signs in their eyes. They want to be able to spend this fun money. They're looking at about $50 million in fun money coming out of this. That's not going to be controlled by the General Assembly. That is going to get handed over to activists. And it's not going to go towards, you know, fixing potholes and updating bridges.
Ken, hang on. Ken Girardin is with us. He's policy director at the Yankee Institute for Public Policy. More with Ken straight ahead. First, though, traffic and weather together. We'll continue with more from Ken after this on WICC. Hey, a couple of more minutes with Ken Girardin. He is the policy director at the Yankee Institute for Public Policy in Connecticut. We're talking about the second beat back, as Ken said, you know, dragging back to the cave here of TCI. Ken, how many times are we going to have to beat this thing back before the legislative Dems give up on it? Or will they ever give up on it?
You know, I don't want to put this all on the Democrats. There have been plenty of Democrat members in the General Assembly who have recognized that this is going to have an outsized, really disproportionate impact on the working class folks in their districts. But this is going to be continual. We are looking at a multi-year struggle here for getting Connecticut to change its ways. You know, we just observed the 30th anniversary of the personal income tax, and that's kind of the moment. If you trace back Connecticut to when things really, really were going off the rails, it was the late 80s, early 90s when spending really got out of control. And you know, we're seeing this pressure to have tolls on our highways and to have TCI and to have these other tax increases because of that runaway spending. What Connecticut needs to have is a culture change where we start looking at every dollar with a lot more scrutiny, and we start holding our elected officials to a higher standard. I mean, the first thing people should be doing right now is asking, where do your elected officials stand mm-hmm. on the TCI gas tax?
Yeah.
A lot of people have kept their heads down and haven't taken a side on this. That's step one. And then step two, it's for people to look more closely, and they can visit yankeeinstitute.org to learn more about it. But start looking more closely at how all these taxes that we already pay are being spent.
And, you know, Ken, I was talking about this earlier in the show, relating it to a different topic. But you can give, Ken, sometimes all the info that is humanly possible to a voter. You can give them scads of documentation and bad accounting and showing how money is wasted. Yet ultimately, Ken, it's got to generate some sort of a change in how people vote in this state. And you and I both know how incredibly difficult that is.
Connecting what's going wrong in Hartford with and putting it in terms that normal people can understand, that
yeah.
regular people who have regular lives can understand, is not easy. But we do it, you know, 365 days a year at Yankee Institute,
mm-hmm.
and it's an important job. And we do see a difference. We do see people are waking up
yeah.
to where our state is and to where it should be headed and how to get it there. So we're not giving up. We have, historically speaking, people have done the right thing. And
yeah.
I've used the transportation lockbox as a great example. In 2018, 80% of Connecticut voters voted to create a lockbox so that our gas tax money wouldn't be getting skimmed away and misused the way it had in the past. 80%. That's a lot of people who recognized good policy when they saw it.
Yeah.
So I'd say stay in the fight, and you know, to your listeners, check out our website. There's lots of ways to learn and get involved, and we are going to turn the state around.
Yeah, it will. It may take a while, but what's that old thing, Ken? You can't turn a battleship on a dime, right? It takes minutes, hours, days, months. Ken Girardin, policy director at the Yankee Institute for Public Policy, yankeeinstitute.org. Check it out. Ken, good to talk with you, and we'll chat down the road, my friend. Thank you.
Always great to be with you, Paul. Thanks.
Thanks. Appreciate it. There you go. So check it out, yankeeinstitute.org. There is an alternative in this state to all the other mainstream think tanks. And again, you may not agree with them. You may agree with them partially. You may agree with them fully. But at least try and edumacate yourself. Okay?